In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I love reading some of my favorite books in the Old Testament, the prophetic literature. And Jeremiah is one of those prophets that's incredibly profound and starts off with the reading that we have today from Jeremiah, the very first verses in the first chapter, when Jeremiah recounts his own experience of being called by God as a young boy to function in God's kingdom as a prophet, to function in the face of a Hebrew community that was clearly losing its connectedness to God and its ability to understand and experience God as God desired for them to know God's self. So Jeremiah talks about his own call, and this is what he says in his own words. He said, "The word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations.'" Here's Jeremiah right off the bat talking about God speaking to him and saying, "I knew you before you were even born. I created you in the womb." And the word in Hebrew, yasar, is the word that's used here for "I created you." It's the same word that's used in Genesis in the creation stories. It's the same word that's used oftentimes in the Old Testament when they talk about something being created out of clay. And so Jeremiah presents this very intimate, very close experience that his God reached down and literally created him in the womb of his mother before he was even born. And this experience that Jeremiah recounts here, that God spoke to him, became the sort of common or communal understanding of the Hebrew community then, from the time of Jeremiah. That's the kind of relationship that our God has with each and every one of us, right? That our God creates each of us individually and differently. That our God is active in the making, in the physical creation of each and every one of us. That intimate connectedness that we have with our God is very real and profound and clear. And then he goes on to say, "I knew you. I consecrated." And the other word, the way to translate that word in Hebrew, is "I sanctified you. I made you holy." And he says, "I appointed you. I gave you a job. I gave you something to do, to be a prophet, to build up the kingdom, to speak the truth, the profound truth of who I am to the kingdom of God." And each and every one of us at our baptism are anointed priest, prophet, and king. And so all of us, sort of coming out of that deep understanding that the Hebrew community had, should have that sense that God is intimate relationship with us. In the gospel today, we see Jesus preaching in the synagogue. Well, the synagogues were usually, you know, men, right? Gathered and kind of a little intimate group. And Jesus is preaching to them on the Sabbath day. And who appears but this woman? This crippled up woman. 18 years, the gospel says, Luke says, she was bent over and unable to stand up straight. And Jesus, the gospel says, noticed her and called her forth and laid on hands. And he said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." After 18 years, Jesus, in the middle of a service, just like if she would have walked in here now and said, bent over, and Jesus would say, "Woman, you are freed from your ailment." And then, of course, the man who had religion, you know, the guy who was running the synagogue, starts yelling at Jesus, "It's the Sabbath. There are 6 other days of the week to do cure." It's sort of like, Chick-fil-A. You know, we're not open on Sunday here for making anything happen. You come on those other 6 days. And Jesus, who believed in true religion to be something other than a line of clothing, spoke to the guy and said, "But this is what the kingdom of God looks like on the earth. This is why the Sabbath exists, to celebrate the kingdom of God. A kingdom in which the hand of God continues to work in and among and on God's people. And when we gather, each and every one of us somehow place ourselves, just like those people were in that synagogue, before a God who desires to touch us and to call us forth and to say, 'Stand up straight today. Be cured of your ailment,' whatever those ailments might be." So the gospel really does sort of carry on the theme of the book of Jeremiah that was written, 700 years before Jesus. Carries on that theme of a God who is intimately engaged in creating and recreating, like the first song said, recreating the kingdom of God, right here and right now, today, this morning, in this place. And I suppose at some level that's probably pretty easy for us to hear, because it's the kind of thing that we preach, you know, in church on Sunday morning. But I remember when I worked at Lord of the Streets, I retired from there about a year ago, and I was there about 6 years, and we had services during the week, and every Sunday morning we had a big Eucharist at 7 a.m. at Trinity Church, and we usually had about 250 to 300 homeless men and women come for church. So every Sunday I would be honored to be able to preach in that context. And probably the most profound compliment I got in 6 years of working there was when a little senior lady walked up to me, kind of bent over and homeless and looking very homeless and smelling very homeless and whatever, you know, and being very homeless. She looked me in the eye and she said, "Father Bob, when you preach, I really can believe that Jesus does love me." Because in the homeless population, after you've been told, perhaps for years and years and years, that you're the drudge of society, and that you're not worth anything, and you're living off the land, and you know you're struggling with your alcoholism, and maybe you've been in and out of jail many times, and you may be struggling with bipolar disorder or schizophrenia or whatever, on top of everything else, and you didn't get up in the morning and take a shower and brush your teeth and put your tie on and come to church. Not that many of us put ties on anymore. You know, you can begin to believe you're not worth much. And for her to come up to me and say, "When you preach, I can believe that Jesus does love me." But you know, when you unpack that, there's a homelessness in each and every one of us. And maybe I'm projecting it on, maybe not in you, But in me, there's that part of me that knows I'm broken and sinful and not the one that I'm called to be and to become. There's that part of me that turns in on myself and in a way that shuts me off from other people sometimes. There just is. And I know that. And at some level, there's also that sense that it might be hard for Jesus to love me too. And I'll bet that we all have our stories, right? I'll bet we do. And what we're hearing today in the gospel, and coming directly out of the first reading, is that sense and that truth that is ours as Christians. That the kingdom of God isn't just something that happened a few years ago, like 2000, when Jesus walked the earth. But that kingdom of God is right here and right now, by the grace of God, right here and right now. And what we do in our synagogue on this Sabbath day is not just come here to be with friends or to sing pretty songs or to see what kind of flowers might be on the altar today or look at the windows or whatever we come for. But we come to celebrate that hand of God that desires to come down and touch each and every one of us today. And by the act of God and the power of God's Holy Spirit, we celebrate it around this table. And we tell our stories together. And we do what Jesus mandated, commanded us to do, when he said, "Take bread and wine and remember me, and I will be with you." And we know the presence of Jesus among us. But not for ourselves only, but for the world out there. And so it is that even as Jeremiah was called in that very special way by God himself to go forth and profoundly preach that the kingdom will fall apart, only to be rebuilt by the hand of God, so it is that each and every one of us are called upon each and every Sunday morning to celebrate that hand of God touching us, assuring us that we are called to be in union with God, and calling us to be one with each other, fed by the body and blood of his Son, Jesus, to go forth from this place and make that kingdom come alive out there. And that's no easy task, because most of you can sit in this pew and think about the week to come. And you know, she smiled because she's probably going to start school, right? There's going to be some challenges, right? You're going to have to meet some new people. For all of us, adults as well, we know that the week is going perhaps to bring us opportunities in which we can either represent the kingdom of God or just walk through life as if we ourselves haven't had that special call and that special touch. This is my last Sunday here, unless I get invited back, but my last Sunday here. It's been an honor to be able to pray with you all on a Sunday morning. It's been an honor to be able to come and celebrate with you all around this table and to make present Christ himself among us. And I'm asking for your prayers that as I go from this place today, and I promise you my prayer that as you go from this place today, that we remain one with each other and with all Christians who celebrate at these tables and who desire one thing. And that is what St. Paul talks about in the second reading today. To make the kingdom of heaven and this kingdom on earth one with each other by the presence of the living God. And we are the ones who can do it. And you, each and every one of you, are the one that God has spoken to and fashioned into His own and given the call to build up God's kingdom in the world out there. Peace be with you, as we say every day, every Sunday when we gather. Peace be with you is the charge that we have and offer each other, and the charge that we are called to offer the people that we'll meet this week on our journey. Amen.